Good evening and welcome to Take Aim. My name is Denny Wilson and I'm the preacher for the Parkview Church of Christ in Odessa, Texas. If you happen to be coming through our area or if you're moving to our area and you're looking for a church home, we'd love to help you. We'd love to meet you, worship with you, and serve God together. We are located on the corner of Park Boulevard and West County Road in Odessa, Texas, 1700 Park Boulevard. Please come by and let me know if I can help you in any way. If you're looking for a church home in your part of the world, or you're looking with someone to study the Bible with, let me know and I'll be glad to help you find someone in your area, or I'll help you any way that I can. My email address is roydw3@aol.com. That's roydw3@aol.com. We're glad that you're here tonight. We're going to be studying a new subject matter for a few weeks. We're going to be studying the book of Philippians. Get your Bible ready, take out your notebook and your pencil, and follow along. I know you'll be edified.
Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore you, Euodia, and I implore Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who've labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. All right, so there's a lot in these short three verses. We've studied verse 1 already, so let's look at verse 2 and 3. And let's start with the recognition that Paul is making a very tender plea to these two women, Euodia and Syntyche. And he's pleading, he's exhorting them, he's challenging them to have harmony and unity, to be one. And you know, that's what all Christians should have. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul there, talking to the brethren at Corinth, said something similar. He said, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, how is it that we have the same focus, the same goal, the same objective? How do we speak the same things? How do we have no divisions? How do we have the ability to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment? Well, it comes by sticking to that same source. We have to go to the right authority, which is the Word of God, and follow His plan that's been laid out for us in Scripture. And so he is beseeching these two women. In fact, each one of these women, he says, "I beseech you," or "I implore you," meaning each one of them have a responsibility in working out their differences. It's not a one-sided thing. Sometimes in life when we have difficulties, we think that we're right and someone else is wrong. They're the one who has to make all the effort and all the change. And that's not true, brethren. Each one of us must do our part. Each one of us must take our efforts to try to reach out and to resolve the differences that we might have. We ought to be encouraged to be of the same mind in the Lord. You know, that should be something that's very important in all of our lives. The idea here also involves setting our focus on the needs of the church rather than the needs of ourselves. It's putting others first, as he talked about in the second chapter of this great book. And so we're going to put other people above ourselves, instead of making it all about me. Now, this is a difficulty that's of a personal nature. And the reason why we say that is because there is no description of false doctrine here. Now, Paul, every time there's been false doctrine in his 13 letters that he wrote, we see him calling out those who have taught error, and he calls out the error. And here he doesn't call out any error. So this isn't a conflict about false doctrine. This is a personality conflict. He always calls sin, sin. And so in this particular situation, it's a matter of an opinion, or it's a matter of option or judgment. Sometimes we will use that word. But it's causing harm to the church, and it can really destroy the church if it continues and if it moves swiftly. So they need to resolve it quickly. You know, we can't allow matters of differences between us to destroy the church or the effectiveness of the work of the church. In fact, we have to be of the same mind and work together for the cause of Christ. In fact, as we study the Bible, we learn that we should have singleness of heart, Acts 2 and verse 46. We're all in the same Lord, Romans 10 and verse 12. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 says we have the same Spirit. Verse 5, the same Lord. Verse 6, the same God. We ought to be working together in the same mind toward one another, Romans 12 and verse 16. We're to be speaking together and working together as one, as we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. We should have the same care for one another. That is, we love each other and we're concerned about each other, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25. We should be of the same accord, of the same mind, and put others above ourselves, as we see in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Paul is pleading with these brethren to be unified, and certainly that's something we should be striving for today. We should have harmony. We should have unity. We should have oneness of mind according to the Scriptures. And so let's keep this in mind. Let's also notice that there are some great characteristics of these women, just like there are some negative things about these women. Let's start with the great characteristics. First of all, they're sisters in Christ. They've obeyed the gospel, they're children of God, and they're both sisters, and they need to act like it. They're members of the church here in Philippi. And as such, they have labored together for the Lord, and they need to work out their differences so they can continue this great effort. They had shared Paul's struggles in the gospel, he tells us here. What does that mean in particular? Well, it means they had helped him. They had participated. They had fellowshipped. And it's probably financial support that we're talking about. But there are other ways in which women support the preaching and teaching of the gospel. It could be they taught other women. It could be that they taught children. It could be that they taught in private sessions in their home. But, you know, they're not in the public discourse. We know that from Scripture because it is forbidden for a woman to be a preacher. But what she is doing is helping in the work that Paul was carrying out. And so Paul praised the congregation throughout this book, and he praised them in part for their fellowship in the gospel from the first even until the last. And that included Lydia on the banks of that river and the conversion of her home, where she opened up her home, she opened up her finances, she shared and provided a place for Paul and his companions as they preached the gospel. All the way till now, there are women who have been helping the furtherance of the gospel and the furtherance of the kingdom. And so as we see this great effort, these women are praised for that. These two women were responsible in part for assisting Paul in all his work. And so we're thankful for them. They were striving together for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ, chapter 1 and verse 27. These sisters were also well known. They were known in the congregation here. And that's why their names are mentioned, because the congregation knew exactly who this was. They knew the work that they had been doing. They knew the work that had been come forth from their homes, from their financial ability, from their actual personal work. And so it was important for Paul to address this. But I want to point out one other thing, and we'll talk about this more in just a minute. But he also praises them because their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The most important thing that we could ever do is have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. To be a Christian, to be a faithful child of God. In Revelation 21 and verse 27, we see that book. That's the book that will determine those who are saved and those who are lost. In chapter 20, there's a description of the three sets of books. There's the books of the Bible, there's the book about the story of your life, and there's the book, the Lamb's Book of Life. Our name must be written there. A comparison will be made between our life and the Word of God, and if we are not faithful, we're not going to get to go home and be with the Lord. But these two women are described as having their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what we want. We want to be those who go to heaven. By comparing their names here, he's trying to show them that their differences of opinion, their subject matter that's causing them harm, is insignificant compared to eternal life. And so they need to work out their differences. They need to resolve these problems. They're both going to go to heaven. They're both going to live in perfect harmony and love and peace with God someday. So why let something in this life destroy where you stand with God? And so he's telling them to have harmony. And if they don't resolve the problem, they also need to understand that our names aren't written there in permanent marker. Our names can be blotted out from the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 3 and verse 5. And so we don't want that. We want to be right with God. We want to have eternal life. And so we need to resolve our problems and we need to resolve our sin and get our lives right in Christ Jesus. Now, there are also areas that need improvement. They were known for their disagreement. When Paul brought this up, nobody's confused by that. They know who it is. They know that these two ladies have had problems. This letter was intended to be read in front of the entire congregation, and it was going to be shared with other congregations. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still reading about this. Can you imagine how you would feel if your names are the ones that are read here by the Apostle Paul in dealing with problems in your life? Instead of it saying, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche, it has your name there. How would you feel about that? Now, in our society today, I know what most people do. They would get their feelings hurt, and they would take their ball and go home. They would leave. We're not a very strong people. We act like we are, but many times words and simple discussions cause people to quit. They cause people to back away and be afraid and be fearful, and they don't want any part of what someone else is doing. But these two ladies are called out on the carpet, if you will, by the Apostle Paul to the whole congregation. Not about a doctrinal matter, but about a personal problem. And he addresses this. Would you be embarrassed? I'm betting you would. Would you be upset that the whole congregation knew that you were having this difficulty? I'm guessing you would. But it's a public plea so that these sisters will get their priorities right and that they'll work together to overcome the obstacle that's before them. What are you known for in the congregation? What is it that people know about you in the church? I often talk about epitaphs, and I've told you many times, Genesis 6:22 is one of the greatest in my opinion. It's mentioned several times in Scripture, but this time, of Noah. Thus Noah did according to all the Lord commanded him, so he did. He was obedient. He was faithful. These two sisters, unless they resolve the problem, their epitaph is they couldn't get along. If we can't get along as brethren, something's wrong with us, and we need to make a change. We need to have some humility. We need to not think that it's all about what we want, but it's about what God wants. And so what are we known for? This disagreement has been recorded for 2,000 years for us. If one line is written this very day about you and your life, and it stays around for 2,000 years, what do you want it to say? Do you want it to say you're a faithful child of God? Do you want it to say that you're a laborer in the vineyard? That you've made a difference, you've left your mark on this world for the cause of Christ? Or do you want it to be that you need someone to tell you that you need to get your priorities straight and you need to quit arguing and bickering over things that don't matter? What is our mindset? If one thing is written about your character this very day and it's going to be around, what will it be? You know, the quarrel was affecting the church, and even though they've done many good things in the past, the present disagreement overshadows the good that they've done. And sometimes in life that happens to us. We may have done many good things, and we say or do one thing, and the next thing you know, we've made our name very negative. We've caused harm. When something like that happens, we need to work to get rid of that difficulty. We don't want to be at odds with one another. We don't want to hurt the work of the local church. Even worse, if we don't get it resolved, we could be lost. We don't want to be lost. We want to be saved. We want to go to heaven and be with the Lord. And so when we have these difficulties, we need to remove them from our life. Can you imagine standing for the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 in particular, and having the conflict be not that I wasn't faithful in so many things, but that I couldn't get along with others, that I was arrogant and prideful and self-righteous and domineering, and everything had to be my way. If that was my mindset, if that was my attitude, and I lost my soul for that, what a tragic thing it would be. The reason this issue is brought up is not to embarrass these ladies. It's so that they can resolve the problem and again work together for the cause of Christ, to impact the world for good, to make a difference in the world for the cause of Christ. Our job today is very important. We must obey the gospel. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, in order to have life in His name, and we must help others to do the same. And if we are at odds with one another, if we're in conflict with one another, we're not helping the church, we're hurting the church. Listen, nobody wants to come to a congregation where people can't get along. Nobody wants to come and be a part of a congregation where there's fighting and bickering and division. Nobody wants to be a part of that. We've got to work together to resolve our differences and to make sure we're on the same page, working in the vineyard of the Lord. Now, as Paul continues on in verse 3, he says, I urge you also, true companion, help these women who've labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. The question is often asked, who's this true fellow worker or the yoke fellow, depending on your translation? And we don't know. We just don't know. There's all kinds of opinions. Some think Epaphroditus, since he mentioned him earlier. Some think Timothy. Some think others. But it doesn't really matter. Whoever this soldier of the cross is working and laboring in the vineyard. And he is helped in the furtherance of the gospel. But Paul asks him here to help these two ladies work out their problem. Now, there's a couple of things that are very important there. For one, he says, help them. You know what that means? It means they probably have already started to resolve their problem. And Paul just wants them to have some help to finish this off, to make sure that they've solved their problem. We don't know who this worker is, but Paul trusts him to help. And so he's going to be a soldier of the cross and labor and help these two ladies as well as he helps the congregation. And don't you know, these two ladies are worthy of that help. Their souls matter. Their opinions matter. So let's help them to work through it. These women had labored for the Lord. They had labored with Paul. They had helped him. It may be financially, it may be through teaching ladies or children, as we said, but they have helped Paul, and he wants them to continue to do this work. And so he calls on his fellow worker to help them to finish overcoming the difficulty. So often in life today, people may have some difficulty. They may have some problem. They may have sin in their life. There may be other things that are causing them harm. But instead of going to a faithful brother who can help them, they go to the world and self-help books, and they do things in worldly ways. Folks, we need to turn to the gospel, and we need to turn to soldiers of the cross. We need to trust preachers and teachers and elders who will help guide us and direct us according to the word of God to be able to resolve our differences when we have trouble. Now, we ought to be good students of the word ourselves. Somebody doesn't have to explain it to you. You can understand the word if you're a good student of the Bible. But folks, we ought to help one another. It's also interesting here that he starts to mention some people in addition to this fellow laborer. He mentions Clement. And again, we don't know who Clement is. Some people might suggest he's Clement of Rome, but the truth is he's probably Clement of Philippi. But we just don't know who he is. But he is referenced and praised along with these others who are faithful children of God. He's known to Paul, and the brethren knew him, and so that's a good sign. And so he's encouraging them about being faithful and being one who does a good work for the Lord. In our world today, if our world doesn't know us, it's no big deal. It doesn't matter if the world knows us. You know, there's an old Travis Tritt song in country music that says, "One of these days I'm going to be somebody." That's wanting the world to know who you are. It doesn't matter if the world knows who you are. But you know, it does matter that your brethren know who you are. And it matters more than that, that God knows who you are. God knows those who are His. God knows those who are faithful, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. In fact, he says here that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if our names are not found written in the book of life, we're cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20 and verse 15. So how are our names added to the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, our names are added to the Lamb's Book of Life when we obey the gospel. When we hear the truth of the gospel and we're baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. You see, there the Lord adds us to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. It's in that moment that we become a part of the family of God, Galatians 3, verses 26 or 29. It's in that moment that we're saved, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. It's in that moment when we call on the name of the Lord and our sins are washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. It's an important moment in time because the Lord adds us to the church and our names are written there in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if we live a faithful life and we live according to the Word of God, that is our judge and our guide, John 12 and verse 48, we're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You see, we must be obedient to the gospel. Paul's example here has helped us in many ways. Of course, we want most importantly for people to be saved and to have their name on the Lamb's Book of Life. But I want you to notice that he also helped us understand how we can resolve some problems when there's conflict between us. Number one, he did something immediately. When there was a problem, he didn't tell everybody else about it. He didn't post it on Facebook. He didn't run and tell the town gossip. He wrote a letter to the church, and he addressed these two people in particular, directly. He said, "You've got a difficulty that needs to be resolved." He didn't wait for it to go away. He didn't hope it would go away. When he found out there was an issue, he worked to resolve it. He didn't want it to cause harm to the church or cause it to be deteriorated. Folks, we have to have the same mindset. And again, I'm sure it was embarrassing for Euodia and Syntyche. And in our society today, that is almost taboo. It's almost looked down upon to name people by names or to deal with something in a public way. But folks, when you deal with it immediately and directly, you can solve the problem quickly and effectively. And we're going to forgive one another. We're not going to hold a grudge because that's not godly. And so we need to deal with it immediately. Secondly, he urged them to have unity, and he urged it strongly. He encouraged them to think the same way and the same mind and the same judgment. He encouraged them to get this problem behind them. You see, harmony is not an option for the Christian. We have to work together. We're one body in Christ Jesus. We have to be in harmony. So if there's a problem, we need to stop that problem. We need to resolve it so we can be one in Christ Jesus. It's a command of God that we be in unity, that we all be one as Christ and the Father are one, John 17. And so we need to make sure we understand this and that we work together in unity to overcome our hardships. Number three, he reminded them appropriately. He reminded them what mattered most. He said they are two sisters in the Lord. Notice again, "I implore Euodia and Syntyche, be of the same mind in the Lord." Not the same mind of the world, but the same mind in the Lord. They have both been baptized into Christ, and their lives are to show it. That means they're going to humble themselves. They're going to put others' needs above their own. They're not going to cause division because of their own wants and desires. And so he reminds them that you're in the Lord. And then number four, He provides them help. And this is the way it ought to be. He's going to provide them everything they need. He completely helps them. He helps them individually by addressing the issue. He helps them by having his fellow yoke fellow, his co-worker, his fellow laborer who could be trusted to assist them. And he encourages them himself to get this problem solved. He also made it known, number three, to the church so that the church could help. You see, when we have problems with one another, we've got to resolve those problems. And so Paul was confident that the brethren, could help these two ladies to overcome their problems and again to be children of God, working together side by side, laboring for the cause of Christ. Brethren, let's work together in harmony and love for the cause of Christ. When we have differences, let's resolve our differences. Let's work out our problems. It's not the end of the world for us to have a difference of opinion. But when we do, let's not let that matter of opinion cause harm to the church. Now, if there's something doctrinal, we need to correct that immediately too. And we'll talk about doctrinal issues tonight at 5 o'clock, Lord willing. But we need to, when it comes to things that aren't doctrinal matters, we need to humble ourselves in the Lord. We need to remember that we're in the Lord. He's the one in charge, and we're going to submit to his ways. Let us also be mindful that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's the most important thing in the world. Our homes, while we think they matter, and they do help us, and they protect us, and we're thankful for them, they don't matter in eternity. Our money, our job, our even our physical health, these things are things that pale in significance to the cause of Christ, to the church, to the Lord. Folks, we need to make sure that we understand that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we want them to stay there. We want, when the trumpet sounds, as we studied last week, we want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We want to be delivered with the kingdom to the Father, where we will be with the Father from then on. That's what we want. We want to go to heaven and be with the Lord. We want to live in harmony in heaven, and we want to live in harmony on earth. So if there's a difficulty amongst us, we need to resolve it. And we need to make sure that we're living for the cause of Christ. We're glad that you're here with us today. We appreciate your time. I hope that this lesson has been encouraging to you. And I hope you'll think about it. If something is written about you this very day, and it's going to be around for 2,000 years for the church to read and know about, what will it be? If it's not that you're a faithful child of God and a laborer in the vineyard, then you need to correct that and you need to get your life right with God. If there's sin in the camp, let's get rid of that. You can go to God and ask for forgiveness. He's faithful and just and will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you're not a child of God, you need to become one. And the way you do that is by putting on Christ in baptism, and then your name will be added to the Lamb's Book of Life. If we can help you with that, let us know. We'll be glad to study with you and work with you and help you any way that we can.
I'm thankful that you were here with us tonight, and I invite you to come back next week on Thursday night at 7 o'clock as we continue this study of the Book of Philippians. We appreciate you being with us tonight. We invite you to always give us a call or send me an email if you have questions. We want to help you any way that we can. This is Denny Wilson. My email address is roydw3@aol.com. Thank you so much for listening to Take Aim.